Hello, my friends. Welcome to or welcome back to Remixed Reality Podcast. I'm your host, Lee Tombe. Did you miss me? Because I missed you. Okay, guys, it's been a second. And by second, I mean we took a break last week because it was just a lot. And it's still a lot. But, you know, I realized I gotta persevere. I gotta push through. The podcast isn't a lot. Love this, right? Love the few hours I get to sit here and talk to you guys and, you know, air out all my business and all that stuff. Love it, right? But I just needed a break. A lot was happening, a lot of changes. Like I said, it's still happening, but I'm learning to manage. I'm learning to do better. So yes, it took everything in me to sit down and record this episode today. So if it gets up, you know, God is good. Well, God is good regardless. But if this gets up, you know, God's really good. Anyways, welcome to episode 15 of the podcast. And today's episode is actually a request, or it's an expanded version of a request of what somebody had put into the suggestions box, which you guys should totally go into the suggestions box and put what you want me to talk about, because I will probably record another episode next week that'll mainly just be me talking about realigning with the vision of what I had initially started this podcast for. But really quickly, just part of that is, like, obviously it's a community and I want to know, what are you guys struggling with? What are things that I could talk about? What are things that we could work through together? Because as you've probably can tell from the past 15 episodes or 14 episodes, I'm no expert on anything. And so I just typically like to share my experience. But if there's anything that you guys have that you want to share, just a little bit of a sneak peek is very, very soon. I'm not going to tell you when, but soon I do want to be sharing a lot more of you guys' stories. And if there's things that you guys can share with the rest of us, and I'm not talking about, oh my gosh, like, you know, or is this a red flag or am I overthinking segment? But like stuff that you've been through, what you've learned, things that you've overcome, I think it'll really help all of us. I know I can only talk for so much. I can only share so much. But I know that there's some things that you guys have been through that could really help a lot of people. And so if I could give you a platform to share that and just, you know, help make the world a better place, then I would love to do that for you. So just keep that on the lookout. But until then, drop your suggestions in the suggestion box. Link in bio on the Instagram. Okay. All right. So like I said, today's episode was based on a suggestion. Somebody had put in the suggestion box, kind of expanding on my friendship episode a little bit and specifically talking about friendship breakups. And you picked up, it's almost like you knew what was happening in my life. Like, thank you. It's almost like you knew. So of course I will speak on this because I think this is something that is very, very fresh. Very new, and I think especially because I can see my demographics, a majority of us are like college age or in our 30s that listen to the podcast. And so obviously, like I said a couple weeks ago, like those are really big transition periods for a lot of us. And with that comes transitions and friendships and things like that. So today's podcast episode is going to be talking about friendship breakups. And I'm going to start by reading a poem, because we hear this phrase, people come into your life for a season, a reason, or a lifetime. And it's actually from a poem, and I didn't know that. And so you're going to hear my blind reaction to this poem by Brian A. Drew Chalker. So it says, people always come into your life for a reason, a season, and a lifetime. When you figure out which is which, you know exactly what to do. When someone is in your life for a reason, it is usually to meet a need you have expressed outwardly or inwardly. They have come to assist you through difficulty, provide you with guidance and support to aid you physically, emotionally, or even spiritually. They may seem like a godsend to you, and they are. They are there for a reason. You need them to be. Then, without any wrongdoing on your part or at all inconvenient time, this person will stay or say or do something to bring the relationship to an end. Sometimes they die. Sometimes they just walk away. Sometimes they act up or out and force you to take a stand. What we must realize is that our need has been met. Our desires have been fulfilled. Their work is done. The prayer you sent has been answered, and it is now time to move on. When people come into your life for a season, it's because your turn has come to share, grow, or learn. They bring you an experience of peace or make you laugh. They may teach you something that you have never done. They will usually give you an unbelievable amount of joy. Believe it. It is all real. But only for a season. And like spring turns to summer and summer to fall, the season eventually ends. Lifetime. Relationships teach you a lifetime of lessons. Those things you must build upon in order to have a solid emotional foundation. Your job is to accept the lesson, love the person / people anyway, and put on what you have learned to use in all other relationships and areas of your life. It said that love is blind, but friendship is clairvoyant. Thank you for being a part of my life. I guess we're going to go into different segments and kind of talk about friend for season, reason, and lifetime. But I just want to start by saying I think we oftentimes don't realize... Well, I have a couple things I want to preface this by saying. I don't think that every single person that comes into your life is... I don't think we should go into friendships or relationships with the perspective of I'm supposed to be getting something out of this. I think that gets really toxic very, very quickly. And so I think approaching it with like, what can I learn from this? I think is a better mentality to have. But it goes without saying, like, I think I don't go into my friendships like, what can I get from this person? It's typically what can I give? And I think in your act of giving, you also receive in many ways in one. But I honestly, it's going to be a warm, you know, honest conversation because I think this is definitely something that I have dealt with before. And we'll talk about it. But I think one thing I was also going to say is the issue with this whole concept, I love it. But I think one thing that's really hard is it's typically hard to discern what the friend is, like what their purpose in your life or your purpose in their life is until after the fact. And it's hard because I think a lot of us will get into start friendships with people with the expectation that they're going to be in our life forever. And typically that's not the case. And so I think that's where things get a little bit difficult and a little bit hard. And so that's what we're going to try and unpack today. But a season, as we kind of already talked about, is just temporary. It's typically circumstantial. A reason, people teach you a lesson, help you grow. But I believe that everybody can do that regardless of what part of, you know, if they're there for a season, reason, or lifetime. And lifetime is like a lasting soul aligned connection. Sounds very dramatic, but I think it's like the bond that you just know that regardless what happens, like you're going to be there for each other forever. And I think also on that same note, it's those friends where like you could go months and months and months without talking, but you know, you still love each other. You know, you still care about each other. And then when you get back to your, you know, regularly scheduled program, you are kind of just able to like pick up right back where you left off. Okay. So obviously this is going to be a very personal story filled episode. So last time I shared personal stories about my friendships, I did get blocked on social media. So not funny. The friendship was on the decline anyway. And I didn't say anybody's name, but you know, I do know we have ops that listen to this podcast episode or listen to this podcast. And thank you because you are still viewing, you know, increasing my listener count, and I appreciate that you're pushing it out to more people. But I do know that there are ops that report back to people that are no longer in my life, which is completely fine. Thank you for doing the work for me. But I did get blocked. Thought that was a little bit funny. I actually didn't think it was funny when it just happened, and I didn't notice for a while. So that's how you knew, Lily. Like, anyways, yeah, okay. So I feel like we all have that friendship that kind of just faded, right? You used to be BFFs, and all of a sudden, there's not necessarily anything wrong that happened. I think we oftentimes associate friendship breakups or things like that with like something very dramatic happening. But I think as people, you evolve and you grow, and you know, people who used to be a big part of your life and at some point in time just aren't, and that's completely okay. But I think I have a friend, and we were very, very close, like besties, right? And we were kind of just always there for each other, but in a way it kind of felt like we were each other's second options, right? Like we were there, but it felt like we were only there for each other because we had nobody else. And I don't know how to explain that besides that. It felt like that for me especially, and I don't know if it felt like that for her, but it kind of felt like I was just like the default, like this person isn't here, okay, let me go and talk to Lily. Like I felt like the second option many times. And our friendship started really, really strong. And over time is when it kind of changed into that. And there's not one big thing that happened. It was just simply we were growing as people. We were a few years apart in age. So obviously, that's what typically happens. And then I think because when you've known something for so long, and you're so familiar with something, you constantly want to hold on to that, right? Like I didn't want to kind of let go of that because it's like that's all I really knew. I felt comfort in that friendship in a way, and I didn't want to let go of that. But I think I realized that like we were just on very different playing fields in the sense of like different seasons of life, and that friendship just wasn't going to last long term. And I knew that we would always be there for each other, but it wasn't like a priority anymore, I think for both of us. And I think I kind of realized that that would be the end of the friendship. And it sucks because, like I said, when something's familiar, it's really hard to let go. But especially when there's no big thing, right? There's no big thing that kind of caused that friendship to kind of fade. It's just you're growing. You're going to different schools. You're doing all these different things. Like, obviously, that makes sense that your relationship would fade. And I think this can apply to literally every single friendship breakup that I've been through. But this whole idea of emotionally processing something that you thought was going to be in your life forever, right? And I think when we're younger, we're a little bit more naive to this whole idea that, like, our friends are going to be there forever. I think this person I had known since I was 5 years old. So obviously you think, like, we're locked in for life, right? We pretty much have been locked in for life. But I think it's hard to, like, process that. It's hard to, like, understand that you're no longer, like, a big part of somebody's life anymore. I don't know, that sounds selfish, but especially if you've had a friend that you have known forever and you guys are pretty much all each other has known, and then suddenly you are like a priority in each other's life. Like, it's hard to process that. And it sucks a lot. But I think oftentimes what I have done is I have come up with reasons in my head to try and put the blame on me, if that makes sense. Like, I've tried to just, which is bad, which is why I'm sharing this, is like, I've had this idea that, like, well, maybe it's because of this. Like, I try and put the blame on me. Like, maybe I've changed. And that's why, you know, all these different things are happening. And so then when you do that, you have this emotional battle with yourself. You're like, and you start blaming yourself for something that is not your fault. That is nobody's fault. That being human and growing up and not being friends with somebody anymore is a very normal thing, right? And it requires you to, like, pause and actually reflect on that friendship. But I remember I had a friend that I was, like, stuck, like we were stuck like glue. Like, that was twin. suddenly they weren't in my life anymore. And I, like I had just said, come up with every reason to think, like, maybe I did something. And that's why we're no longer friends. And like I said, I kept trying to, like, put the blame on me. When in reality, like I said, there's nobody to blame in that situation. I remember writing this story and being like, for me, I was really confused because I had known this person for a few years and we were super, super close. And then suddenly we weren't. And suddenly we weren't in each other's life anymore. And I was like, wow, like, did the last 2 years mean nothing? And that's before I had the mentality of not everybody's meant to be in your life forever. And that person, like, I love them so much. I still do. And they taught me so much about myself. And I think the lessons and stuff that I learned from that friendship are so valuable. That although, like, the pain of no longer being attached to that person anymore, no longer having them in my life, lingered for a while, the lesson, like, outweigh that pain. And, like, the love that I shared with that person outweighs all the pain of letting go of them in the end. But I think what makes the emotional, what makes the process of disconnecting with somebody so hard is, I think society has this idea, right? We're in the society and culture podcast section, so maybe I should talk about society a little bit. But I think that we have this idea that when something comes to an end, that means it fails. And I think you see this same narrative in relationships. Like, you date somebody for 5 years and all of a sudden you're not with each other anymore. And to you, that's failure. When in reality, like, no, you probably shared so much love and you learned so much about yourself and other people in the process of that relationship or that friendship. And so instead of asserting that, you know, endings mean failure, I think we have to understand that, like, even if something came to an end, like, be glad that it happened, if that makes sense. I think people say don't cry because it's over, smile because it happened. And I love that sentiment. I think it's very important. I think, you know, sometimes you can cry a little bit that it's over. But I think after that, you're done with your crying, being so grateful that that opportunity or that friendship was there for you during the times in which you needed it. And I don't know how to explain this enough, but I think I was so bitter after that friendship had ended that I couldn't even see, like, how much I got out of it and how much I hopefully helped her and stuff like that. And so I went through my moments of, like, questioning, like, being like, oh, maybe it was my fault. Maybe I did something. Maybe yada, yada, yada. Maybe I was just a friend out of convenience on all those different things. And then I realized, like, no. Like, once I was able to take a step back, I realized that, like, that friendship healed so many parts of me. And I'm so glad that I got to experience that love. And I'm so grateful for that person and whoever else gets to experience, like, her friendship and her genuine love. Like, I love that. I love her so much. But anyways, I think when you're emotionally invested into something, right? Like you have this friend that knows everything about you, that you know everything about, that's your ride or die, that's your rock, all that stuff. And then you no longer have that. Obviously, detaching yourself from something that you're emotionally invested in is going to be painful. It's essentially the point. And so I think what people do as a default is instead of allowing ourselves to become emotionally detached, we have surface level friendships that are honestly just there. So it looks like we have people in our life, but there's nothing deeper beyond that connection. There's nothing beyond just, you know, you being acquaintances, to be honest. And so we think that that's better than allowing ourselves to become emotionally detached to people because we have this idea that they're going to leave eventually. And in reality, yeah, they probably are going to leave. But I think as somebody who didn't always see this way, I can tell you that I would much rather have experienced the years of that friendship and genuine love and connection with that person than have not. And although the process of healing and moving on took a lot of time and was very, very painful, I understand that, like I've said, the pain that I experienced is nothing compared to the joy that I got to experience. And so I don't think that, you know, just choosing to have surface level friendships is what's going to satisfy you, because it's not. You're going to feel lonely. You're going to feel isolated in more ways than one. You're probably going to feel depressed because you do not feel like anybody on this earth truly knows who you are. And I think having friendships in which you feel like somebody knows your soul and knows you at a deeper level, I think is something that is so enriching. And I hope everybody gets to experience. But you're not going to experience that if you're constantly telling yourself, I'm scared that this person's going to leave me. Okay. And I think additionally, when we like change is scary, like not knowing that friendship and having to make new friends and all that, that whole process is a very scary thing because you're in a very vulnerable position, right? And change, and also not even just making friends, but no longer having that person in your life is a big change. And I think I definitely had a fear of change. Like I said, guilt was a main thing that I always thought. I would blame myself for things that nobody needed to be blamed for. But also you have that sense of nostalgia. You're going back and reflecting on the, 10 years of friendship that you had with this person. Maybe it's 6 months, maybe it's 2 months. And you have a lot of nostalgia and you're like, will times ever be like this again? When I'm looking back at my 20s or my teen years or my 30s, am I going to, you know, look back at really long and miss that friendship? When my kids are asking me what my, you know, 20s were like, am I going to look back and miss that person that was in my life? And we kind of carry all these feelings of nostalgia, but also guilt. And then it's, you know, emphasized by this fear of change that we have. And I think one thing to kind of help that is, I think the endings of friendship can be very beautiful too, because typically the end of something marks the beginning of something else. But even beyond that, I think knowing that you had the honor of being in somebody's life, whether it was forever, whether it was for a few months, a couple of days, I think is something that's very important. Like, I think one thing that allows me to be a kinder person, as I've said this before, I think if somebody being in your presence and being your friend, it should be an honor, right? It should be an honor to let people in your space. And I was going to say about the whole emotional investment thing is not everybody needs to be emotionally invested in you. I'm not saying that every single friend that you have needs to know every single detail about your life. I actually wouldn't suggest that. But obviously, I think you should have those people that know about you on a deeper level. But anyways, I think knowing that you got to be a part of somebody's life, right? Like, what are the odds? Like, if we truly think about it, and we dissect it, like, I don't believe in coincidences. I think that everything is lined up perfectly the way that it's supposed to be. I've talked about how I was scared of going to this school and I was worried. I know that regardless of whatever, what school I would have went to, it would have been okay. But I know that I was meant to be here and that's why I'm here. And so the friends that I've met, I know, like, they're, you know, a lot of these people aren't from here. I probably would have never crossed paths with them. And the fact that I get to be in these people's lives, I think is something that it makes me a kinder of a person, because I know that all of this, I don't believe in coincidences, like I just said, but all of this like happened for a reason and for a purpose. And so understanding that endings have a level of beauty to it, because what an honor it was for you to be a part of that person's life. What an honor of it was for them to be in your life. And I think don't always associate endings with negativity. And I think even we have this very negative idea and toxic, you know, thing that we kind of portray, like whenever somebody breaks up with somebody, and they delete the pictures with each other, we all automatically assume, like, we want to find the tea. Like, what's the tea on the situation? When in reality, that doesn't necessarily mean that there was tea. They could have just grown apart from each other. Maybe they just need to work on themselves individually. Automatically, we have this association that ending means negative. And that when something comes to an end, it must have been this big fallout, or whatever the case is. And 99.9% of the time, that's typically, actually, that's not true. 50% of the time, that's typically not the case. And that same principle applies to friendships as well. And so I think one thing that's very important that unfortunately a lot of people lack is emotional maturity. And I'm not talking about emotional maturity and how your friendship ends, because we'll get to that in a second. We will. Emotional maturity in realizing that growth doesn't always mean that you have to stay with somebody. Like, I think especially during college transition times, like, you're growing. I hope you are. I hope you're not going from high school to college and remaining the same person for all 4 years while you're in college. The purpose is to grow. The purpose is to change. And on that note, with the whole college thing, is when I was getting ready to leave for college, I essentially had a feeling that a lot of the friendships that I had in high school were not going to come with me to college. And some people, there's like one that I still talk to. There's a few that I still talk to. But like the people that I was super, super close with when I was in high school, I am no longer in connection with at all. And I remember during that time, like, I had told myself and I prepared myself that, like, I'm not going to be mad at anybody for no longer being friends with me when they go to college. I'm not going to hold any resentment towards somebody for, like, just living their life and understanding that we're living hours and hours apart from each other. You're meeting new people. You're getting new connections. And I don't want them feeling like they have to maintain a relationship with me. I think it's okay for things to naturally fade out. And I want you to grow. I think and this is what I think made things a little bit harder, is because I had this mentality, I was like, I love you so much and I want you to experience all the love that there is out there. And I understand that I'm not everything. And I want you to go and make new friends. I want you to expand and build new connections, all those different things. And I don't want to be the person holding you back from that. And so I kind of had that mindset to myself. And I wish this was something that I verbalized with my friends, and the understanding that I'm not mad at you. I want you to go out there. I don't want you to feel like I'm a burden in your life. Like, I want you to make new friends. I want you to make meaningful connections. Like, I am not going to be physically there 24/7 all the time. And I want you to have your support system and people that are around you and that know you, because I can only do so much via text message. I can only say so much via phone call. And the people who are there and around you know you, and you're changing. And as you change, I may not know who this new version of you is, because I knew you in high school. But the people around you are going to know who you are and are going to be able to support you in the best way possible. And so if you're kind of like, oh my gosh, I'm about to go to college, or whatever the case is, or I'm about to leave this city and I don't want my friends, I would honestly encourage you to have this conversation. It's like, I love you and I thank you for being in my life all this time. I want you to know that, like, I want you to experience all that life has to offer. And I want you to meet new people and I want you to make new connections. I'm always going to be here for you. And I'm grateful for the time that I got to be in your life and the time that you got to be in mine. Or I hope that you're glad about the time you got to be in mine. But know that I'm not mad at you at all. And yeah, I feel like that would help a lot. But people lack emotional maturity. But we're not ready for that conversation. Okay, now I think is the time. The real question and the real listener submission was talking about, let me pull it up specifically, but they were asking about friendships, and they also asked about roommates, like friendships that kind of fade away, as well as, let's see what it said exactly. Falling off with people around you. Okay. Yeah, I've done the same thing. I think one thing that's really hard about that is the whole idea of proximity, right? Because you're talking about your roommate, you're talking about falling off with the people around you. I think what makes those friendships difficult is the fact that you're probably still seeing those people all the time. And so I think it makes the whole healing process 10 times harder. And I would say in life, obviously, as we grow and get older, drifting away from people is very normal. However, when there's a really big thing that occurs, that's when things get a little bit harder. But I will share about, like, roommates and stuff like that. I think when you're with somebody 24/7, which I'm thinking about last year, you're going to get sick of each other. I think it's very normal. You're living with somebody who you don't really know that well for a while, and you're going to fight like siblings. You're going to, you know, maybe slam doors. I'm so sorry. Maybe you're gonna, you know, yell a little bit. Maybe, I don't know. Yeah, I'm my roommate from last year. I think she does listen to the podcast, so I'm sorry. for slamming the door. I am. Anyways, it happened one time, but it was towards the end of the year. And I think at that point we were just sick of each other, right? Now we see each other and it's like we're chill because we're no longer living with each other and we're not with each other 24/7. And I no longer hold resentment towards her for things that happened last year. And I hope she doesn't. I don't think she does. But she's a very forgiving person for things that I did last year. And I think that's not always the case. I have a friend who hated her roommate last year and they still hate each other to this day. And I'm so sorry. I think you'll come and realize, specifically when it comes to roommates, that whatever you're fighting about right now, it's hard when your roommates aren't emotionally mature. And I'm recording this in my house right now. And my roommates, I hope you know I'm not talking about you guys. I'm not talking about any of you guys. Love you guys. I'm not talking about you. Like, I think it's very normal to be sick of each other, but you're going to come, like I have now, to the realization that a lot of the stuff that you were fighting about last year probably isn't as serious as you thought it was, and you were stressing yourself out over a lot of things. However, on the flip side, I know that there's some things that people do when you have roommates that there's just nothing that's explainable. Like, nothing can justify the things that they do. You're probably not overreacting. And it sucks. And it's very uncomfortable to be in a space in which you were supposed to feel comfortable and be uncomfortable because the people in that space don't like you or because you don't like those people. And I hate to be like, don't be home. But I think if I'm physically uncomfortable 24/7, one thing that me and my roommate did is we would just never be in the room at the same time for the end of the school year because we just couldn't stand each other for a little bit. So we would just check each other's location. And when I was home, she wouldn't be home and vice versa. We would only be in the room at the same time when we were sleeping. And eventually we got over it. And I think now we're doing a lot better. But I think it sucks also because you're paying rent in that space. Like, you want to feel comfortable in that environment. And I think that was one of my issues last year. It's like, I'm paying a lot of money, like $15,000 to live in this stupid dorm. Like, I want to enjoy being here. You're like, what, 15K? Yes, 15K. But don't worry, rent here is way more now. So yes, 15K was nothing compared to anyways. But I'm like, I don't want to be gone 24/7. But I also understand that, like, you need to protect yourself, whether it's your roommate or somebody is like a physical threat. I've heard unfortunate situations in which people's roommates are crazy or their boyfriends are crazy, and you're in a situation in which you're not physically safe. That is a different scenario. And I think in that instance, if your school isn't doing anything about it, find ways in which you can avoid being at home 24/7, because I think your physical safety is more important than anything. If it's more of emotional safety, allow your room to be your sanctuary. Allow it to just be like a place. Put on your headphones and listen to what your roommates are saying downstairs, and just create a space for yourself in which you feel safe. And you don't have to be in the common rooms 24/7, and it sucks because you're probably paying an arm and a leg for rent, but know that your peace and your emotional stability is way more important than that, right? Obviously, the finances suck because the housing crisis is insane right now. But understand, like, your ability to feel safe and comfortable comes before any of that, if that makes sense. And I would just say, back to your whole question and stuff like that, is, like I said, when you're living with somebody 24/7, it's very easy to get very agitated with them. But then also with this whole roommate situation, some people just act like they don't have home training, and some of them don't, to be honest. And that's what makes it really, really hard, because it's not your job to baby them. It's not your job to be the house mom. And you were all supposed to be adults, and it sucks when people don't act like it. And I'm very sorry for that, because it's a very tough situation to be in, because you feel trapped in a way. You're in your home and you want to feel safe and you want to feel comfortable, but you have these people who are making it uncomfortable. And so if your room, maybe you share a room with somebody and they're the ones that's making your life a living hell, try and find a community of people around you who will support you and, you know, just let you be with them. Like, people who will allow you. Like, I had a friend who would come over a lot last year because their roommate sucked. Like, and we, like, I was her sanctuary in that sense, because she had to share a room with that person. And yeah, try and be that for other people as well. I know I feel like I always say this, like, it's a twofold thing, but, like, maybe you're like, I'm loving my life, my roommates are great, they're amazing. Maybe you have friends that aren't in that same situation. Try and be that space for them. But yes. Oh, okay. I think I might have mentioned this in the friendship episode. So the whole problem with a lot of these friendship breakups, especially friendship breakups within friend groups. Ooh, don't get me started about that. Is you're still probably close with a lot of the people in that circle. You're probably still coming into contact with that person a long time. And like I said, it prolongs the healing process. But I think you can still set boundaries and be practical. Like, I don't think you should be avoiding everybody. I don't think you should isolate yourself in your friend group because people in your friend group are no longer friends with somebody. And we're going to talk about that in a second. I just think still asserting your boundaries. And in a way, I think one thing that we typically do is we try and ignore it because we're like, I don't want to make this situation worse. I don't want to break up the friend group or whatever thing. But I think you are going to come to a point in which you're just so tired and so agitated that you didn't say anything and that you didn't set that boundary. And you're like, it'll just be exhausting for you. And I feel like it's better to just be in that state of momentary discomfort in order to have that conversation and set that boundary. Be like, I am no longer in contact with this person. I know you are, and that's okay. Just know that, like, I just don't feel comfortable in spaces in which they're in. And kind of letting people around you know and understand, like, I'm not expecting you to drop them. And that's what we're going to talk about right now. Okay. Because this is, you know, people have this whole, that's my ride or die, that's my bestie, yada, yada, yada. This is where it shot me in the foot so bad. Okay. And it sucks. I had a friendship that was literally the best friendship I've ever had in my life. Okay. Still to this day. Love her, miss her. And like, I felt seen and loved and heard, and we were there for each other a lot. And it was during COVID. And then I was friends with somebody and they got in a big friendship fallout. And essentially everybody picked sides. And when they picked sides, I was on the opposite side of the person who was at the time, like, my best friend, the best friendship that I've ever had. Fast forward 6 years later, I'm no longer friends with that person that I stood up for. I'm no longer friends with that person that's in that environment. And I do have regret. And I only have regret because I knew that one of the friendships was not only, like, I just felt like we were both getting a lot more in that friendship that I let go, unfortunately, than I was in the friendship that eventually ended up dying out, if that makes sense. And so my thing to that is back on the whole emotional maturity thing. We were in high school, so I guess that concept probably is thrown out the window. But this whole idea that just because somebody you know is no longer friends with somebody that you can't be friends with them, weird. Let's talk about it. I think if somebody did something to you that was not okay, right? Like, if they crossed a line, if they physically hurt you or did something very, very terrible, then obviously that's a situation in which it's like, I probably don't want to surround myself with that person. However, what typically happens is there's an argument in which people are not listening to each other, are not communicating with each other properly, or just a lack of communication. And then that friendship dies out. And then all of a sudden people look at them like they're an enemy. And I think when friendships come to an end, we have this mentality that somebody's at fault, right? Or that somebody is wrong, whatever the case is. And that's usually not what it is. And so then it creates this huge problem in which it's like, I'm now expected to drop this person because you don't like them. And I don't think that's fair, right? I don't think that's fair because you obviously don't know the purpose that each other plays in each other's life, if that makes sense. Like, you don't know the connection that you may have with that person that you're now saying you can't be friends with them. And I don't think it's necessarily fair. Also, I'm not going to listen to anybody telling me I can't do something. I'm sorry. But I just think this whole idea that if my friend is no longer friends with you, I cannot be friends with you. I think that's weird. And I think there's certain situations in which that concept stance, but also I think another exception to that, like I said, is if I just realize that, like, your character is not something that I want to be around. However, if I do not know the full story and I have not heard from you, I shouldn't have the mentality immediately that, like, you must be at fault, right? Because typically with these friendship breakups, only one side gets heard. And when that happens, you're forming judgments off of one person's side. You know, we all make situations a little bit more dramatic, right? To make ourselves look a little bit better. Right? I'm not the only one. So obviously you're hearing one side that's definitely biased. And if you go hear the other person's side, you're probably going to hear two different stories. And that's why it's important to not just take whatever somebody else is saying for face value, but actually take the time to understand what's happening. And I think if somebody's like, I can't be friends with you anymore because you're friends with somebody I don't like, I just think that shows a lack of emotional maturity. I think there's also this idea that you're going to be telling each other secrets. And I think that's where probably stems from, is this idea that, like, you're friends with an op of mine, you're going to be giving intel to that person. And I almost blocked somebody because I know that they're an op on here, and I know that they're transferring intel. But then I just realized I just don't care. I really don't care. I think one thing this whole friendship episode from last time taught me is I don't care. Because people are going to get mad regardless of what you say. People are going to get mad regardless of what you do. You could tell the truth. You could say everything and people will still be mad at you. And so might as well tell the truth. Might as well say what you want to say in the proper context. And I don't know. I just think I was very, can you tell I'm not over the situation? I was very kind, cool, collective. I was very classy. There's things I could have shared that I didn't share. And in the end, the person was still mad. They were still mad with the fact that I told the truth. And the crazy thing is there are over, you know, like 10 people who can verify everything that I said, but I was somehow made as the villain in this situation. Anyways, back to emotional maturity. I was thinking in these instances of friendship breakups, there doesn't need to be a big blow up, right? It could be a simple conversation. And I wish that's what happened with one of my friends that I'm no longer friends with. I wish it was just a, hey, like, this just isn't going to work. But that's not what happened. It was people being petty, which is fine because I'm petty too. And I probably would have done the same thing. I don't even blame her. Like, we're the same. But yes, anyways, I think friendship breakups hurt the most typically because I think, for one, I feel like the friendships typically last longer than relationships. And two, it's just like a different bond. Like, especially I think girl friendships are some of like the strongest and like best things. And it's just like you grew up together. Like, you, that person is a huge part of you. And so people always say that you're a mosaic of everybody that you've ever loved, right? Now, this is something from The Medium. It says, I make my ramen the way a friend taught me in 11th grade. Every fall, I listen to a playlist made for me by the boy I drove across the border to hook up with. I eat sushi because a girl who won't talk to me anymore made me try it, and Indian food because my best friend's parents ordered it for me before I knew what I liked. There are movies I love because someone I loved loved them first. I'm a mosaic of everyone I've ever loved, even for every heartbeat. And on that whole idea, I think it's just, regardless of whether a person is still physically in your life, they're still a part of your life, if that makes sense. Like, I think there's habits and things that I do. There's ways that I talk. There's, you know, songs that I love simply because somebody that I loved loved them. And I think it'll make leaving friendships and stuff like that a lot more. And back to the whole beauty thing, like, ending can be beautiful. And I think if you look back on it and realize that you are literally a culmination of all the people that you ever loved, it'll bring you a lot more peace knowing that even though that person is not physically in your life anymore, you're still a part of their life. You're still a part of the way that somebody could have a perspective change because of the things that you've taught them. Somebody may have like a realization years down the line because of something that you said to them. And I think one thing that's really common, if you think about a lot of friendship breakup stories and things like that, is there's different phases and stuff that you go through. Like, I think obviously that there's that level of grief, and then there's that level of acceptance, and then probably grief again. And then acceptance, and then understanding, right? And I think the part that's the hardest is the understanding, is because we try and understand something that we're typically not supposed to understand. And so I think there was something that I saw, and it was like, somebody was like, oh, I can't understand how somebody would hurt me like that. And they're like, oh, well, that's a good thing. Like, I'm glad that your heart, like, I don't know. I don't remember what it said exactly, but it was something on those lines. And now we're going to talk about friendship breakups that don't just end very smooth and some that are messy, because we kind of touched on it a little bit. But I think having to let go of a situation with grace instead of being petty, like I've wanted to do 99.9% of the time, is one of the hardest things, right? I got to call on God to give me the strength every single time, because I think it's really, really hard, because sometimes we want to hold on to something that we're just not meant to hold on to anymore. And I think it's hard for you to force something that's no longer aligned. And they could be aligned in seasons of life, aligned in emotional maturity. I think oftentimes our friendships end because you guys are just not on the same level. And there's nothing wrong with that. And I don't mean on the same level in terms of skill or ability, but just like emotionally. It's very hard to deal with somebody who's not emotionally mature. It's very hard to navigate friendship with somebody who constantly plays the victim. Trust me, I know. And when you're just going to get exhausted. You're just going to get burnt out. And you're going to realize that this friendship is no longer adding value to your life, and you don't feel like you're adding value to that person's life anymore. And I think one thing when there's like a big friendship fallout is understanding that everybody is going through something different, and something that somebody did to you, although it may have sucked, like, and it's not an excuse. I always say that people saying that, you know, I'm going through something is not an excuse for them to treat you like trash, because everybody's going through something. And I think it's important to share compassion even when you don't feel like it. Like, I really do wish that I just had conversations with people, but some people just were not willing to have conversations with me. And I really do. I never want to leave any situation on a negative foot. I never want to leave a friendship situation on bad terms, because I just don't like being on bad terms with people. But understanding that people also don't share that mentality, and it's really easy for people to just ghost you or block you or not talk to you ever again. And that's okay. If that's the way that a person needs to navigate a friendship breakup, that's the way that they have to do it. I'm never going to judge you for that. I might a little bit, but I know that it is not a fault in me, if that makes sense. If a person just needs to cut all contact with you in order to get over you or get over your friendship, then that's okay. But I think we are constantly trying to get over something that I don't think we're meant to get over. Like, I think it's okay to look back on the friendships that you had and be like, wow, I'm going to miss that. Or wow, that person was really, a really big part of my life. And I think instead of trying to get over it, honoring the good that happened in your life, even if it did not last, right? And I think what we typically realize is not all of our endings to friendships require some level of confrontation like we've been over. Some of them just slowly fade away. But I think the ones that hurt the most are typically the ones that do fade away. Because I think if I have a big friendship breakup with you and I know what the reason was, it's a lot easier to get over that, right? To understand that, like, I deserved better in that situation versus a friendship that just slowly fades away. Somebody who meant so much to you at some point in time that is just no longer in your life. Like, those are typically the harder ones, because there's nothing to, like, blame, and there's nothing to pinpoint why this friendship ended. And that's when you get in this cycle of, like, self-doubt and thinking, maybe it was me. In reality, it wasn't you. It's nobody. It's okay. I think the really hard part is understanding that not all friendships are meant to be in your life forever. But I think whenever we get into friendships, we have this mentality that they will. And I'm not saying that you should go into your friendships thinking that they're going to be temporary, because I think when we do that, we are essentially limiting the depths of those friendships. Like I said, you're going to have surface level friendships because you're scared that people are going to leave you. I think love the people around you so deeply, and I think it'll feel a lot better to love them so deeply than to love them on a surface level and never feel genuinely seen, heard, or loved. And I like this quote, and it says, "I'm not mad at myself for giving my love to the wrong people. They probably needed it the most." Faraway. And I think this quote was probably talking about relationships, but I think the same concept applies to friendships, is I'm never going to regret past friendships that I've had, even if the friendship breakup hurt like hell, because I know that we were in each other's life for a reason, maybe for a season, or maybe for a lifetime. And I think those friends that are there for a lifetime, you can kind of tell. I think I have a few friends that I just know are going to be there forever, but also there's a chance that could not be there forever, but there are a lot of friends that I do think I will have in my life for a very long time. But I do have to remind myself that not all friendships are forever. And I think why you have to remind yourself that is it makes the process of letting go a lot easier. Knowing that although it doesn't make sense that this person was in my life for so long and they're now a stranger, like understanding that, like, that's also unfortunately part of life. It's a cycle of people coming into your life, people leaving your life permanently, temporarily. There's friendships that ended and I'm now rekindling, right? Like, I'm very glad that I've been able to do that. And so I would just say, remember that when somebody comes into your life or when you go into somebody else's life, I think typically in many instances, we're there to teach somebody something, or we're there to love somebody a little bit extra, or whatever the case is. And I think you're never supposed to leave a friendship the same way that you came into it. And so if that friendship comes to an end, the hope is that you're a changed person in the best ways. Or maybe that friendship really messed you up a lot and now you know the type of friend that you want to be and the friend that you don't want to be. And so this whole idea of change is kind of rooted in all of that. But anyways, thank you for that listener who submitted this idea for the podcast episode. I hope that your friendship situation is a lot better, and just be kind to yourself in the process. It sucks. And I know it sucks to be in an uncomfortable situation in which you no longer talk to the people that are around you. But understand that your emotional stability and peace is more important than any of that. And so it'll take some getting used to. DM me if you need any more specific advice or anything like that. Thank you for listening to the Mixed Reality Podcast. I will see you guys next week with our next episode. And if you have any suggestions, please leave them in the suggestion box in the link in bio. Bye-bye.